Hare Krishna devotees.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Shri Baladev Ji Ki.
Jai.
The appearance day of Lord Balaram Ki.
Jai.
Gaur Premanande. So, we are continuing our theme, of course, of the appearance day of Lord Balaram. And we will now, before the bonfire, we will mention a few pastimes of Lord Balaram, which appear in Srimad Bhagavatam, and depending on the time, maybe one or two others from other places. Yeah, these important pastimes where Lord Balaram is the main figure. Because we know, generally speaking, in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, Krishna is the main figure, the focal point, in the great majority, actually, of the pastimes. It may be 90%, it might even be more, but it really is a lot. Because Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll talk about that. Today's Balaram's day, tomorrow is Krishna's day. So we'll talk tomorrow a bit about how Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. But anyway, still, there are a number of pastimes in the 10th canto in which Lord Balaram is the main person. So here they are. Listen to this. First is Dhenukasura. There, Lord Balaram is in the, he's the main person. Then, there is Pralambasura. Yes. Now, the big demon killed by Lord Balaram in Vrindavan. Then, and I think I wrote these down in order, chronological order, but I think the next one is the killing of Rukmini, the brother of Rukmini, the wife of Lord Krishna, the main wife, actually, of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. Then the next one, so that's three. We have seven here. The next one is Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan. There's a whole chapter about that. It was when Krishna and Balaram were living in Dwarka. And at some point, Lord Krishna would not go, but Lord Balaram went to pacify, appease the bridge buses. And that includes, if you remember, clearly that pastime, that includes Lord Balaram calling the Yamuna to come closer. And the Yamuna, do you know what? Ish, as they say. Lord Balaram had been drinking Varuni. Did we have any Varuni today?
No, we were just discussing how we'd forgotten we didn't actually make any Varuni.
That's terrible. Okay, well, next time, but yeah. There are different ways of making Varuni. but it's his special favorite, most favoritest drink of Lord Balaram. And it has sort of intoxicating effects. And Lord Balaram was there with the gopis, and they're just a little away from the Yamuna. And Lord Balaram, he wanted to bathe in the Yamuna with the gopis. So he thought, let me just call the Yamuna to come closer. So he called, but the Yamuna would not come. So then he threatened the Yamuna. You come, if you don't come with my plow, I will drag you here and I will break you up into little pieces. So then the Yamuna came and apologized. But if you go there today, there's a place actually, it's called Ram Ghat. It's north of Vrindavan town, maybe 20 kilometers or something, on the Yamuna. And there you can see that Lord Balaram, he threatened her, but he actually started carving up the banks of the Yamuna a little bit. And if you go there, you can see there sort of patches where the Yamuna, where there's ground, and then there's Yamuna, then there's ground. Okay, so anyway, that's all part of Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan. Then another exciting pastime, Dwivida gorilla. Oh. Then there's the pastime of dragging Hastinapur into the Yamuna. Again, well, he didn't actually drag it really into the Yamuna, but he started. So that's another pastime in which Lord Balaram really figures most prominently. And then the seventh and last is the killing of Romaharshana Suta. So these are all pastimes which are described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And these are the pastimes in which Lord Balaram is the main person. And everything else, Krishna is the main person, although Balaram is there. So I thought we could go through a few, let's see what time allows. But I thought that we could first of all discuss very important pastime, very important demon, Dainukasura. And oftentimes, as a trick, in fact, I thought of doing it, but it's too late now. Oftentimes, I ask the devotees when we start talking about Dainukasura, I ask them, how did Krishna kill Dainukasura?
He didn't.
Ah! He was killed by Balaram. So that's a trick question. And sometimes we ask the children, what is Krishna's name? What to speak of the children, sometimes the adult, bewildered completely.
That should have been one of the questions on our quiz earlier.
50 points.
And they suggest Gopal, Damodar. Okay. So anyway, Dainukasura. You know, there's a fairly brief description. It's there in the 10th canto, Dainagsura being killed by Lord Balaram, but there in some other Puranas, there are more detailed descriptions, Garga Samhita particularly. It's a Vedic literature. There's a more detailed description. And I thought we could go through that. So, let us have your attention, devotees. Yes. Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Chidamani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya Shatarane. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravata Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajkav Charibhyas Jagripa Sindhu Bhija. Paditana Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Could I ask one of you wonderful devotees, could we move this beautiful microphone stand? It's really very attractive. Still. Okay, now, this pastime, the killing of Dainagsura. Well, actually, let me just sort of preface this by mentioning it's very important and it's a very extremely interesting thing, is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a couple of his books, two of his books actually, he goes to some lengths to describe how every single one of the demons who appear in the Vrindavan pastimes of the 10th canto, in that section of the 10th canto, every single one of them represents a particular anatha. Anatha. Atha means something useful, something valuable, helpful, nice. Anatha means the opposite, something useless. Well, at best useless, at worst dangerous, which can actually deviate you and just take you away and out of Krishna consciousness and just back into material life. Anatha. So there are 21 of these demons. In most cases, Krishna kills them, or in two cases, Balaram kills them. But in the others, Krishna kills them. But actually, in some cases, they're not exactly demons. They are devotees who got somehow deviated and bewildered, but they fall into this category that they represent anathas. For example, the Govardhan Leela, Lord Indra becoming bewildered, this is included. And it represents, we won't go through all 20 odd of them right now, but in that case, the bewilderment of Lord Indra in the Govardhan Leela represents the anatha of demigod worship. Yes. Okay, anyway. So, but Indra is not exactly a demon. Not in the really classic sense, like Dainagsura, who's really a demon. Although he became demoniac. He became demoniac. In the course of this Leela, he became really confused. And he tried his level best to kill Krishna. Kill Srimati Radharani, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, to kill all the cows. Indra tried his best to just destroy them all. That's pretty demoniac, isn't it? Yeah. We have not tried to kill Krishna, at least in this lifetime. Cows, Radharani. We wouldn't do that. But he did. He actually did. So even though Indra is not really a demon, generally speaking, but he became demoniac. Because he fell under the influence of pride, and particularly pride. So now we have Dainikasura. Dainikasura and Pralambasura, these two were killed by Lord Balaram. Yeah. Well, I could just mention another one which is included in the list of the 21 is the Brahma Vimohana Leela. Lord Brahma became, at least superficially, confused. And he's definitely not a demon. You know, he didn't get as carried away as Indra and try to kill Krishna. But he definitely thought that Krishna was an ordinary little boy and stole the cowherd boys and calves to try to embarrass Krishna and really make Krishna feel bad. Can you imagine Krishna going home that evening alone, completely, and the parents ask, where are our sons? Where are the calves? Just millions of calves. Where are they? I don't know. It would have been quite a situation for Krishna. So, you know, Brahma is not a demon. He is the head of our sampradaya, actually. But special situation, he's included in the list. And he represents the anatha of thinking that Aishvarya means the opulence of God, the power, the majesty of God is more important. The Aishvarya is more important than the Madhurya, the sweetness of Krishna. Okay, but now here we have Dainikasura. Dainikasura represents a very important anatha. It is basically the anatha of getting into the mode of ignorance, tamagun. Yes. How can you know, or what might infer or suggest that maybe you are somewhat under the mode of ignorance? Well, something like, if, according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, if you are inclined excessively to sleeping, if you're the sort of person who, when you take rest at night, you think, how nice. And when the alarm clock rings in the morning, early, bright and early at the retreat, in time for you to get to Mangal Arati, then you think, oh no. Then you must know you are at least somewhat in the mode of ignorance. There are other characteristics, but that's a kind of, you know, sort of colorful, interesting one, which some of us, I'm sure, have had some experience with. If you're the sort of person, you know, working person, when Saturday morning comes, Mondays, or say Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, whichever day you're not going to work, then you wake up and you think, ah, got to get up, because you've just forgotten that it's the weekend. Oh, I got to get up. Oh, and then suddenly you realize, oh, it's Sunday. Oh, great. And you just go back to sleep again. This indicates you may be somewhat influenced by the mode of ignorance. There are other things also. But now, this is a big one. You know, the mode of ignorance. That's big. Things like thinking the demigods are more important than Krishna, thinking that the Lord's majesty and glory is more important than his sweetness. These are not as big as just the mode of ignorance, which is huge. And for that matter, Pralambasura represents the mode of passion. So these two demons killed by Lord Balaram, they represent these two very big anathas. And even the other anathas, they are, you could say, they're like specialized anathas. They're not so general. And even you could say they're like subsets, like detailed parts of either the mode of passion or the mode of ignorance. Like to think Aishvarya is more important than Madhurya. Maybe that's connected to the mode of passion, being impressed by people who are very powerful and popular and influential. Yeah, but the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion, these are very big anathas. And it's interesting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he discusses these, he says that the anathas connected to the demons who are killed by Krishna, generally or in many cases, they will be removed just by your ongoing practice of Krishna consciousness, without having to make any special effort to address a particular anatha, to stop it somehow. But he says that these anathas of Dainikasura and Pralambasura, killed by Balaram, they take a special effort to get out of ignorance, to get out of passion. These are such heavy things. He says they require a special effort in which one has to take shelter of Balaram to get his mercy, to get free from those big, big, undesirable things. And he says that the mercy of Balaram is received. Of course, you can pray to Balaram, that's fine. But he says mainly the mercy of Balaram is received through the mercy of the spiritual master, who is the representative of Balaram, who, as we mentioned, Balaram is the original spiritual master because he's so close to Krishna. He knows Krishna, and he can help you come to know Krishna. Right. So, okay, now, the pastime itself. It's interesting. Sometimes, you know what we do sometimes? Sometimes we spontaneously, without any preparation, we have devotees act out these pastimes as we are reciting them. I don't think we'll do it with this, but maybe tomorrow we can do one. Okay, so here we have then Dainikasura. What happened? So, Did you ever have a problem with a computer? So, okay, it's okay, I sort of know the story. So now this pastime happened on the, what do you call it? Gopastami Day. The Gopastami Day when Krishna had just turned six. Gopastami is the second Ashtami in Kartik. So, yeah. Second Ashtami in Kartik. So, on that day, Krishna started herding the cows. I've become bewildered here. Krishna started herding the cows for the first time. And he and the cowherd boys, and Balaram was there also, they went herding the cows. They went down past Govardhan Hill. And they went down past or next to Talavan. You might not be familiar with Vrindavan, like Vrajamandala, the whole area, but Talavan is just south of Govardhan Hill. So then, as they went down, something very interesting, very important happened. They smelt the aroma, the fragrance, amazing fragrance, of ripe fruit, like tons of ripe fruit, coming from Talavan. And the cowherd boys approached Krishna and Balaram and said, "That smells really good. Would you help us? Will you come with us into the forest and help us get that fruit? Because we want to eat it and enjoy life." Now, this raises a very important point. Is that, what do you think? Do you think the cowherd boys just want to gratify their senses and just eat because it tastes good? It smells good and I just want it. And if it smells good, if it tastes good, eat it. No. They're great exalted devotees. They wanted to offer the fruit to Krishna and Balaram. But if they had told Krishna and Balaram that, "Help us get this fruit so we can offer it to you," Krishna and Balaram would have said, "No, we don't need it, because we have our lunch boxes. Because they're good. When they go out every day, they take their lunch boxes from home, prasad." Yeah. It's offered to Lord Narayan, actually. And it's prasad. They do not buy chips when they need a snack. No, they take prasad from home. And Krishna's lunchbox is amazing. You open Krishna's lunchbox, it looks like a sort of a typical lunchbox type of thing that children take lunch to school in. But in Krishna's lunchbox, there is every preparation you can imagine. in any quantity you can imagine, and many preparations you cannot imagine. Yes. All in that little lunchbox, because it is a transcendental lunchbox. Like lasagna, we had lasagna. Haribo. In Krishna's lunchbox, devotees, listen to this, there are many different types of lasagna. Oh yeah, it's not just lasagna. There are many different types in this little lunchbox, because it's transcendental. And many different types of, what you call it, cannelloni. You know cannelloni? It is the brother or sister of lasagna. But it's somewhat different. Yet, in many Italian types of prasad. Oh, yeah. Anyway, we don't want to disturb you further because there's no more prasad in this evening. But this is the situation. If they had said, we want to get it to offer it to you, Krishna and Balaram would have said, no. We got tons of fruit in our lunch boxes. So therefore, they said it this way around, because they know that Krishna and Balaram love their devotees so much that if they think their devotees want or need something, immediately they'll do it. Yeah. And we were having a little discussion a little earlier with one devotee that as devotees we have to be careful what we desire. We really do. Because Krishna will fulfill your desire, particularly if you're a devotee. If you desire the wrong thing, you may get it. And it may reveal to the world that you wanted something really un-Krishna conscious. Yeah. And people say, aha, this is what sort of person he is. I thought he was a real devotee. Okay. So off they went into Talavan. Now, why was it that all this fruit was there? Just tons of fruit. Nobody had picked any of the fruit. Why? Because Dainukasura was there. And Dainukasura would not let anyone take any of the fruit. Even just the most ordinary little something which is not extremely desirable. Like what? I don't know. A Granny Smith apple. They're not, you know, they're an acquired taste, shall we say. He wouldn't let anyone take anything. And in fact, if anyone came to try to take something, he'd kill them. So the fruits would just fall off the trees eventually and just rot. And that was it. So, he represents the mode of ignorance, and of course, he's in the form of a donkey, which is very suitable in terms of the mode of ignorance. And one aspect of the mode of ignorance, you know, the mode of ignorance is multifaceted. We mentioned sleep. Like excessive attraction, attachment to sleep. But another part of ignorance is envy. And this is a form of envy here. He's not going to use it. He was, as they say, non-veg. He was non-veg. In fact, he did not even eat veg. You know, I realized that Indian culture had really got into like a bad situation when a couple of years ago I was on an aeroplane, and the little girl stewardess in a, would you believe, mini skirt came down asking people what they wanted to eat. And she looked at me dressed like this, and she just said, just straight, veg or non-veg? It's not very good, is it? Okay, so he was strict non-veg. And so he wouldn't touch the fruit, but he was so envious, so tamasic, he would not let anyone else take the fruit. This is another aspect of tamagun. Here's another aspect, devotees, listen to this. Sarcasm is humor in the mode of ignorance. Yeah? Because sarcasm means we're belittling someone. We're making someone look bad. This is sarcasm. Humor in the mode of ignorance. So in they went into a Talavan forest. And let's see. Lord Balaram went up to one big fruit tree, a tal tree. It's a type of a palm tree, but it has fruits. And he shook it. He shook that tal tree so violently, devotees, the whole planet shook. And if you have access to the history books of Newcastle, Middlesbrough, and Blackton Grange region from 5,000 years ago, you would probably find reference that on the Gopastami day, 5,000 years ago, suddenly the whole place just shook like a giant earthquake, because the whole planet shook. The whole planet. Dainakasura was sleeping, of course, nearby. Yeah, sleeping nearby. And suddenly the whole planet started just going up and down. Have you ever been in an earthquake? It's not much fun. I've been in a couple of small ones. Sure. Wow. Frightening. So suddenly he was just bouncing up and down and being thrown around. And he understood, some rascal has come into my forest. So Dainakasura jumped up. And, you know, he's a donkey, but he's a big donkey. He's not your typical, you know, like you see in India, donkey carrying a whole load on his back and staggering down the road. He was a monster. He had the strength of 100,000 lions. Wow. But he was still a donkey. He jumped up and he just roared a big donkey noise. Now, could someone please demonstrate for us, just so we get the idea, a really big donkey noise? Wow. That was more convincing.
I was a donkey in my last life.
Okay, so he came running over, and there he saw Lord Balaram still shaking the tree, and he understood, this is the one, this is the troublemaker. And he just came racing towards Lord Balaram. He came just racing straight up to him, stopped, spun around, and kicked Lord Balaram in the chest really hard with his rear legs. Now, normally when Dainakasura would do this, because he would do this, you know, quite frequently. Normally, when he would do this, the person, whoever, whatever he kicked, would just go flying. Just flying. Literally. So he kicked Lord Balaram right in the chest, and then he turned around to see, expecting to see Lord Balaram just flying off into the distance. Lord Balaram, devotees, was just standing there like, yeah, okay, what next? Totally cool. Just totally cool. And Dainikasura couldn't figure this out. Who is this person? How did he do that? And Dainikasura thought, wow, this white-skinned boy, is really tough. Then Balaram grabbed his rear legs, and Lord Balaram threw him 12 kilometers. And let's see what happened. He landed on his head. Fortunately for him, he has a hard head. So it knocked him unconscious for 45 minutes. For one, what do they call it? Muhurta. But then he came racing back. Racing back. And when he came racing back, there they were, you know, picking fruit and just offering it to Krishna and Balaram. He came racing back. And he saw them. And he thought, this white-skinned boy is really tough. I'm going to have a go at the other smaller boys. These are the little cowherd boys. So he came racing up. He came racing at Sridham, who is the brother of Srimati Radharani. Sridham hit him on the head with his stick. Bang! Dainikasura didn't expect that. He went down onto the ground, you know, like his head spinning. Then the other cowherd boys, you see, these cowherd boys, they are not to be underestimated at all. In fact, Jiva Goswami in Krishna Sandarbha, he says, some of the cowherd boys are as powerful as Krishna. Yeah. That, you know, that's like part of Krishna's leela. So now Dainikasura is on the ground, dazed and confused. And Subal came running up and punched him in the face. Bang! Dainikasura was already dizzy. So then another cowherd boy, Stoker Krishna, he had a rope for herding the cows, like for tying the cows and pulling them along if they didn't want to come. He had this rope. He came. He started whipping Dainikasura. Bang, bang, bang. Dainikasura is just lying there, half, you know, semi-conscious. Then Arjuna, this is not Arjuna from Bhagavad Gita. This is cowherd boy Arjuna. There is a cowherd boy Arjuna. He and another boy named Angsu, they came and they picked him up over their heads and threw him on the ground. Crash! Dainikasura, you know, is barely semi-conscious. Vishal and Rishabha, two other cowherd boys, they came running up and kicked him hard. really hard. Poor Dana Kasuba is really suffering. Another boy, Tejasvi, jumped on top of Dana Kasura and started strangling him. This is extreme. Another boy named Devaprastha came up and started slapping him in the face. Bang, bang, bang. In South Africa, no South Africans here, are there? Oh, there is. Oh, there's one. She would know. In certain parts of Indian South Africa, if you slap someone, it is called giving the person a what happened. Can you digest that? Yeah. Whack! What happened? That's colloquial South African Indian. So yeah, Devaprastha slapped him really hard. Then there was one little boy, just a young boy, but he was a really tough young boy. He wanted to get into the action also. His name was Varutapa, but he didn't really know what to do. He'd never been in such a situation. But he had a ball, so he took a run up. He came running in, and he threw the ball at Dainakasura. So Dainakasura, by now, he was in a really serious mess. So then, Dainakasura is lying there, just barely semi-conscious. Lord Krishna came, picked him up, and threw him onto Govardhan Hill, which is it's several kilometers away from Talavan. And Dainakasura landed again on his head. Fortunately, he has a very hard head. He became unconscious for 1 hour, but then he came racing back. So then, would you believe, he swallowed Lord Krishna. But Lord Krishna became like a blazing fire, and Dainakasura was forced to spit him out. Then, let's see, Dainakasura grabbed Krishna and flew into the sky 1.2 million kilometers. But Krishna punched him in the face and Dainakasura fell to the earth from 1.2 million kilometers and landed on what?
His head.
Which knocked him unconscious, but then he got up again. You know, he's like, Superman would not stand a chance against Dainakasura, let alone these other, you know, popular comic characters. So then Dainakasura did an amazing thing. Listen to this. Dainakasura picked up Govardhan Hill and threw it at Krishna. Krishna caught it and threw it back. Dainakasura was not watching Govardhan Hill hit him in the head. He vomited blood and fell unconscious. But then he picked up the hill again and threw it back at Krishna, and Krishna threw it back at him. And then Krishna put Govardhan Hill back. Then Dainakasura thought, wow, these are really tough little boys. What to do? Then he thought, okay, I will try the white-skinned boy again. So he raced straight at Lord Balaram to just run straight over the top of him. Lord Balaram, with one hand, which hand?
Left hand,
grabbed both front hooves of Denikasura, spun him around so violently that just the, what do they call it?
Centrifugal
force killed him. And then Balaram just threw his body up on top of a tal tree. The body landed on top of the tal tree, knocked it over, and then the body bounced to the top of the next tal tree and knocked that over, and bounced to the top of the next tal tree and knocked it over. You get the idea? A domino effect. Let me just finish right now. Listen to this. Leaving his body, Denikasura manifested a splendid and handsome dark form, wearing yellow garments and decorated with a forest flower garland. Then a chariot filled with 100,000 of the Lord's associates, rumbling with 1,000 wheels, pulled by 10,000 horses, studded with many jewels, 12 kilometers long chariot, traveling as fast as the mind, suddenly appeared. Then, in his transcendental form, the demon circumambulated Krishna and Balaram, and then filling the directions with light, he ascended the chariot and went to Goloka. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama. So when you go to Goloka Vrindavan, devotees, Hare Krishna, we hope you may meet someone there. And he may say, I was Denikasura. Yeah, he's there. So that's the story of Denikasura. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Sri Balaram Ji Ki.
Jai.
Sri Balaram Ji Ki.
Jai.
Sri Balaram Ji Ki.
Jai.
Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki.
Jai.
Gaurivanande.
Hare Krishna.